In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today would be a good day to speak about the Blessed Sacrament. The Gospel, as we say, prefigures the way in which Jesus would make the substance of his body and blood present to thousands and even millions of people throughout the world under the appearances of bread and wine. The event took place during the Passover, 1 year before the Last Supper. It was the occasion on which Jesus promised that he would give us his body and blood, and told us that it was necessary for us to eat and drink them if we will have the life of God within us. It is also quite clear from this account that Jesus meant that the Blessed Sacrament would be more than a symbol, a figure, or a sign, that it would really and truly be his actual body and blood. Even then, there were people who did not believe him, did not trust him, people who doubted him, disciples, friends who left him, contradicting this idea of the real presence, and our Lord had to simply let them go. He didn't call them back to say that he didn't mean what he said, because he did mean it. But you can read the entire account for yourself in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. It's only one short chapter, but well worth reading. The reason I'm not going to talk more about the Blessed Sacrament today is that two of this past week's Gospels caught my attention, and I thought that I would share them with you this morning. The first, from Thursday, is St. Luke's account of Jesus healing St. Peter's mother-in-law from a serious fever. The second, from Friday, is about our Lord meeting a Samaritan woman to give her living water. At first glance, the healing of St. Peter's mother-in-law doesn't seem unusual. Not because St. Peter loved his mother-in-law, but because we read in the Gospels that Jesus healed a great many people. And it's not too surprising that he would have taken special care of the family members of his close disciples. In the time of our Lord, without modern medicine, a fever might actually prove fatal. So this was a great healing. Saint Ambrose said that the fever can also be thought of in a symbolic sense. He writes that we are often afflicted with spiritual fevers, that we sometimes find ourselves burning up with fevers like lust and greed and hatred and resentment and intemperance and other such passions. And that of our own, we are unable to cure these fevers. Our good intentions and our fasting and our self-discipline are good, but they are not enough. just like Peter's mother-in-law, we require Jesus' help to overcome our fevers. And that help, the living water that would quench the spiritual fevers and bring everlasting life, was what our Lord promised the Samaritan woman at the well in Friday's Gospel. Now, let's talk about this woman, this Samaritan woman. So, first of all, we have to know that the Samaritans were outcasts. And good Jews would not have anything to do with them. No business, no conversation, nothing. And this lady was a sinner, according to the scripture, a big sinner. But the scripture implies that this meeting with our Lord converted her. In fact, not only did it convert her, but it made her a disciple, preaching about Jesus to her Samaritan friends. And the living water that Jesus promised to her is available to all of us. Figuratively, it is a stream of water that came forth out of his side, pouring out of his sacred heart, opened by the soldier's lens as he hung on the cross. Literally, it is prayer and the sacraments. For only with these can we hope to extinguish our passions, to cool our spiritual fevers, and to go on doing the will of God. We need to unite her will with God's will in prayer. It's absolutely essential that we obtain sanctifying grace through baptism. It's absolutely essential that we nourish this grace through Holy Communion. And absolutely essential that we restore it by a good confession if we should lose it. And absolutely essential that we augment this grace throughout our lives by receiving the other sacraments at the appropriate times. Finally, dear faithful, in the same gospel, Jesus speaks of having nourishment from a food that even his disciples didn't know about. And he says that food is to do the will of he who sent him and to accomplish his work. And likewise, guess what? That food is available to us. There has to be a practical dimension to our faith, which starts with, but goes beyond prayer and the sacraments. We can be nourished by doing God's will and furthering his work in this world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.